Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo received presidential front 11 foreign ambassadors. Vice President Yusuf Kala leads meeting to develop four tourist destinations. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo received the presidential presented by 11 foreign ambassadors to Indonesia during a ceremony held at the State Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday. As quoted by Antara News Agency, he was accompanied by First Lady Iriana, while the 11 ambassadors extraordinary and plenipotentiary were seen in the company of their respective wives. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, Minister State Secretary Pratikno, and Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung were also present at the ceremony. The new foreign ambassador to Indonesia are Gustavo Ayares Osandot of Chile, Riyad Dridi of Tunisia, Jeroflas Slebo of Slovakia, Clarice Toti Abbas Martotarono of Suriname, Carlos Antonio Moreno of Guinea-Bissau, Juan Camilo Valencia Gonzalez of Colombia, Ehsan Abid Al-Ghafari of Saudi Arabia, Ramis Yusuf Gomez Asaje of Bolivia and Venezuela, Jurid Rivet of Slovenia, Felix Mohma of Congo, and Gudimenas Varfolius of Lithuania. President Joko Widodo has ordered recalculation of the price of aviation turbine fuel or AFTUR to make it more efficient. As quoted by Antara News Agency, President Joko Widodo stated on Wednesday that the government has just discussed this in a meeting. The president affirmed that the government will soon take decision on the recalculation of the price of the aviation turbine fuel test. Early on Monday, Chairman of the Indonesian Hotel and Restaurant Association, Haryadi Sukamdhani, complained that the increased airfare has undermined the country's tourism sector. He also expressed hope for the government to seek solution on after selling, which is currently banned, monopolized by state-run oil company PT Pertamina. Vice President Yusuf Kala led a coordinated meeting to discuss ways to develop four tourist destinations projected to become New Bali for domestic and foreign tourists. Speaking to the press following the coordination meeting as quoted by Antara News Agency on Wednesday, Minister of Tourism Arif Yahya stated that the meeting agreed on the creation of Tourism Coordinating Board to follow the President Joko Widodo's wish to develop the four tourist destinations as super priority destinations. He said the President has declared four super priority destinations like Toba, Borobudur Temple, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo Komodo Island. So this is the Tourism Coordinating Board with Vice President as his chief. At the meeting, Vice President Yusuf Kala also wanted to hold a monthly meeting. The coordination meeting on tourism was aimed at increasing the number of tourist arrivals in Indonesia to prop up the country's foreign exchange earnings. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Minister of Tourism Arif Yahya has expressed optimism that the new Yogyakarta International Airport would help boost the number of tourist arrivals in Borobudur Temple in Central Java. As quoted by Antara News Agency, the minister following a coordinating meeting on tourism development held at the office of Vice President Yusuf Kala in Jakarta on Wednesday said that the new Yogyakarta International Airport to be inaugurated in April this year will be a solution to increase the number of tourist arrivals to Borobudur Temple and other destinations in Central Java and Yogyakarta. At the meeting, Minister Yahya and Vice President Yusuf Kalla expressed concern over the fact that only 250,000 foreign tourists visited Borobudur, which is bigger than the Angkor Wat Temple in Cambodia, while Angkor Wat received 2.5 million foreign tourists annually. Both temples are included in the World Heritage List of UNESCO. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that one factor behind the low foreign tourist arrival is the absence of international airport in proximity to Borobudur Temple. The 20% lift in Indonesian tourism sector has been thanks bigger increase in halal travelers. This was stated by Faisal Bahardent, CEO and founder of Halal Trade website at the launch of Indonesian Muslim Travel Index 2019 on Wednesday 13 on February 2019. Indonesia is the second fastest growing market in the ASEAN region, experiencing growth at a 3x global rate. This has been largely due to an increased Muslim travelers. Minister of Tourism Arief Yahya in Indonesia remarked on the importance of halal tourism for the broader Indonesian tourism market. The halal tourism industry is expected to become a $300 billion industry by 2026. He says some of the success stands to Muslim women becoming more influential as are getting better access to education and have greater means to travel.
The growth, the growth of the halal tourism as a growth of the whole tourism in Indonesia is around 20%. So it's why our plan is from 20% to become 25% of all inbound traveler to Indonesia is coming from the halal tourism. 25% means it's around 5 million.
Indonesia took out many awards at the 2016 World Halal Travel Awards in United Arab Emirates. This included Garuda taking home the award for the best airline for halal travelers and Arsha winning the best culinary destination for halal travelers. Halal tourism has become a mega trend it is projected to develop in the future. Global Muslim Travel Index 201 reported that numbers of world Muslim tourists in 2020 will reach 158 million with a total expenditure about $220 billion. The target of 20 million tourists visit to Indonesia has driven Indonesian Tourism Ministry to improve its halal tour facilities. Met after the launch of Indonesia Muslim Travel Index at the Balairun Susilo Sudarman Saptapesona Building of Tourism Ministry on Wednesday, Minister of Tourism Arief Yahya explained that the number of world Muslim tourists visiting Indonesia is 20%. The tourism minister has made an assessment on halal destination in Indonesia.
Dengan 14 aspek gitu.
The target is 14 aspects. The aspects are smaller, but number one is access. Access in every patient of access, communication, environment, services. From the point of view, I can say that 90% of tourism industry in Indonesia is not based on Sharia yet. Everything is commercial, so I dare to say that who can give their best services, they will win the competition. It's only small part of the industry based on Sharia.
Dengan pelayanan terbaik, dia akan memenangkan persaingan. Nah, baru sebagian kecil yang ada syariah.
Tourism Ministry believe that the strength of Indonesian halal tourism is well prepared to be the global Muslim destination. Tourism destination have to be able to fulfill Muslim tourist needs during their trip. The last item, Russian ambassador to Indonesia, Ludmila Ferubiva said that bilateral relations remain strong with Indonesia, dismissing that there was any animosity after the term Russian propaganda was used in the political debate for the upcoming presidential election. Speaking at a press briefing at the Russian ambassador residence in Jakarta on Wednesday, the ambassador outlined Russia's role in promoting cooperation with foreign parties and maintaining international security and the rule of law.
Yes, we are working on a program or a list of activities that we conduct in order to celebrate the 7th anniversary of bilateral relations. We are in close contact with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Actually, we are thinking of organizing some cultural events. I know that Indonesian embassy in Moscow will have even a bigger festival next year. Maybe we will have some exhibitions, performances, hopefully we can have some Russian artists come to Jakarta.
Regarding the Russian propaganda statement, the ambassador said the embassy had no knowledge of any Russian individuals contacting the opposition other than while attending official events. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is The Development of FinTech. Is it profitable or threatening? The development of financial technology or FinTech in Indonesia is increasingly widespread. Until the end of 2018, the Financial Services Authority, OJK, noted that there were 88 lending FinTech companies that had been registered. In addition, 738 illegal or unregistered FinTech at the OJK, including 211 websites and 527 applications on Android, had been blocked by the Minister of Communication and Informatics of Republic of Indonesia. With increasingly booming lending FinTech in Indonesia, in 2019, lending FinTech continues to grow. In fact, some lending FinTech companies will cooperate with banking and e-commerce. According to the Henrich Foundation, a non-profit organization that focuses on global trade, the ADPL of digital trade for the Indonesian economy is estimated to grow eightfold from 125 trillion rupiah in 2017 and is estimated to be 2,305 trillion rupiah by 2030. Meanwhile, the beauty of the card economy, entrepreneurship and foreign power of cooperatives and small-medium enterprises at the Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Rudy Salahuddin, said that even though the development of FinTech is growing rapidly in Indonesia, Indonesia does not yet have national official data regarding the achievement of e-commerce or electronic commerce transactions. The reports which had been received so far are only based on the result of research reports on certain marketing research institutions. In fact, digital trading is very promising because someone does not need to carry cash, and the convenience in each transaction can be done anywhere without obstacle even thought, as you say, even through gadgets or handphones. Electronic transactions are also prone to be carried out by parties who want to be fraudulent and criminal by stealing someone's data, by hacking data, and parties who carry out illegal transactions for acts of corruption. So far, corruptors had been detained by Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, or the police in the form of red-handed operations. But if someone carries out a digital transaction or through FinTech, this will be difficult to track. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. In our regular program, Today in History. Well, Today in History starts for anyone on February 14, 1945, on the rebellion of defenders at homeland in Blitar, East Java. On February 14, 1945, defenders of homeland in Blitar were led by Supriyadi rebel against Japanese colonial. The plan of the rebellion was triggered because the young commanders were touched to see the suffering of Indonesian people that were treated like slaves by Japanese soldiers. The rebellion was foiled by the Japanese force. Finally, 78 officers and soldiers of defenders of homeland from Blitar were arrested and sentenced into prison, and they were on trial in Jakarta. The next event is that in 1946, red-white flag fluttered for the first time in Manado, North Sulawesi. After proclamation of independence of Republic of Indonesia on August 17, 1945, most territories of eastern Indonesia were controlled by colonialists.
to implement the independence of Republic of Indonesia in the eastern of Indonesia, nationalists of North Sulawesi gather all the potential strength to conduct counter-attack. Briefly, at 1 a.m. on February 14, 1946, the warriors of North Sulawesi region led by Commander Taulu and Waisan, supported by Commander Franz Bismann and Predi Lumanau, conducted an attack action and arrested all soldiers along with the commander of the Dutch colonial beginning front Manado, Tumohon until Tonsea. In the afternoon, commander of the holders of the Dutch East Indies Kingdom, or KNIL, the priest was imposed to recognize the independence of Indonesia and to let the red-white flag be hoisted for the first time in North Sulawesi. And the last event was in 2005. Former Lebanese Prime Minister Rafid Hariri was killed in a bomb explosion in the west of Beirut City on February 14, 2005. Besides Rafid Hariri, the assassination also killed 9 people and injured 100 people. Around 300 kilograms of the explosives were exploded just as motorcade passed the Hotel Saint George in Beirut. The assassination occurred when political tensions between political elite of Lebanon and opposition in Syria increased. Hariri just resigned as Prime Minister of Lebanon in October 2004 and joined in the opposition. Well, listener, that was Student History read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Yang mampu mengungkapkan sungguh berat beban kepedihan. Hanya Tuhan jadi jawaban akan damai serta ketenangan saat bencana datang tak terduga. Sekejap musnahkan segala yang ada. Bawalah hatimu saudaraku untuk ku basuh dan melipur laramu agar mereka lagi satu senyummu mereka. Semua haruslah kau jalani tersembunyi bahagia menanti. Masihlah banyak orang yang kau cinta, tempat berbagi kisah bersama. Kisah
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to My Indonesia. Today's topic, titled, To Reduce Water Pollution of Citarum River, Environment and Forestry Minister Inaugurates Wastewater Management Installation and Eco-Riparian. Indonesian Minister of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya, inaugurated the Wetland Biocord Wastewater Treatment Plant and the launching of the development of Citarum Karawang ecosystem in Teluk Jambe, Sukaluyu Village, Karawang Regency, West Java on Saturday, February 9. The minister said that the construction of the plant is an effort to reduce the burden of pollution of wastewater originating from household waste, which is disposed directly into the river without being firstly processed. While the eco-riparian is a tourist area on the edge of the river with the concept of environmental education. Minister Siti Nurbaya at the inauguration event said, the two programs become one of the pilot activities for river restoration and conservation to improve water quality. She asserted the construction of the wetland biocord of Teluk Jambe is a proof of the government's seriousness in encouraging the revitalization of that rivers into tourism and conservation areas. In addition, the development of the Karawang Citarum Eco-Riparian can be used as a means of education in environmental management, lowering of river pollution, lowering of waste, cultivation of medicinal plants, and other educational facilities. Eco-Riparian development is carried out with support from the community and the businessmen. The Citarum Karawang Eco-Riparian will be developed at the end of 2019 and will continue for the next 5 years with several activities. The facilities that have currently been built are compost ponds, connecting bridge between Zone 1 and Zone 2, household wastewater treatment facilities by using biocord wetlands, planting medicinal plants, planting endemic trees, planting bamboo arboretums, and cultivating hydroponic plants. Minister Siti Nurbaya stated that in the future, other facilities will be built to support the program, such as jogging track facilities using gold mine tailings waste materials, education house, and means to harvest rainwater. The minister added, the community as the spearhead in improving river water quality has a very important role in managing, utilizing, and developing the eco-riparian of Citarum Karawang River in a sustainable manner. That was My Indonesia.
Jiwamu bersama denganmu.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Balinese Arja dance. Stay tuned. Listener, one of traditional art in Bali that is still loved and preserved by Balinese people is Arja dance. The dance like a Balinese special opera or a dance drama. Arja dance was firstly known in Bali in 1814 during the reign of I Dewa Agung Sakti in Puri Klungkung. Arja dance drama takes players from Panji stories and sometimes from other stories such as Jayaprana, Pakang Raras, Santik, and Rare Angon. Arja dance, which was initially performed by one person without being accompanied by gamelan, called Arja Doyong. Since its presence, Arja becomes an entertainment show for the Balinese people. Listener, according to its function, Arja is classified as Balinese dance form like theater. Arja is a very complex theater art because it is a blend from various kinds of art in Bali, such as dance, drama, vocal or singing, music, poem, acting, pantomime, fashion, and fine art. As a theater art, Arja is very communicative with the lovers. Arja art can be found in many regions in Bali, such as Bangli, Klungkung, Gianyar, Annapura, Badung, Tabanan, Jembrana, and Singaraja.
as an entertainment show, Arja also has an educational function. Usually, after watching Arja, the society will imitate the songs and the jokes showed by the group they just watched for a few days. The funny gesture and expressions about the tickling events will be repeated by people in their daily lives. Therefore, Arja is an effective communication media to convey messages. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Balinese Arja Dance. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia for the world on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to Miscellany. Today we would introduce you to the Chinese Cultural Festival held in Yogyakarta. On last February the 5th, Chinese people around the world celebrated the Chinese New Year. They had various activities to enliven the occasion. One of the events is the Chinese Cultural Week held in Yogyakarta. The 14th Chinese Cultural Week will be situated at Ketandan Chinatown, Yogyakarta, from 30th to 19th of February. The Cultural Week, which is carried out by Jogja Chinese Art and Culture Center, aims to celebrate the festivity of the 2570 Chinese New Year. Some of the eagerly awaited agendas are the Malioboro Chinese New Year Carnival Festival and the Jogja Dragon Festival or the Barongsai Festival to be held on 16th of February along the street of Malioboro. At least 20 teams will participate in the Jogja Dragon Festival. Meanwhile, the carnival will be participated in by 31 teams. Three giant dragons will be featured at the Jogja Dragon Festival Carnival. The three dragons are the Green Dragon team from Magelang, which has a length of 90 meters. The Jogja Dragon, or winner of Indonesian Record Museum's record 2019, which has a length 165 meters, as well as the Archipelagic Dragon Team, which has a length of 67 meters. The carnival will also showcase six giant reog puppets, or lion puppets from Ponorogo, East Java. During the implementation of the Chinese Cultural Festival Yogyakarta, cultural exhibitions will also be held in some locations at Ketandan Chinatown, starting from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. The cultural exhibitions will take place at Ketandan Cultural Center and Dreamlight. Visitors can watch Putehi Puppet Show every day at the Ketandan Cultural Center. Beautiful Putehi puppets made by artists from Gundo Village will also be showcased at the cultural center. In addition to watching the show, visitors can also learn how to make Putehi puppet by joining 44 workshop. To enliven the fair, visitors can participate in several competitions related to Chinese culture, such as Mandarin singing contest, Putih Papat painting contest, Chinese paper cutting competition, Chinese calligraphy contest, as well as Chinese storytelling competition. The committee also provides competitions for students, such as coloring contest, batik design competition, and dance competition. That was Miss Lenny on Chinese Cultural Festival in Yogyakarta. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we present a song from Protonema. Protonema is a music group from Bandung, West Java, which was formed in 1989. Protonema was taken from a biology term that means mouse buds. With the name, it is hoped the music of Protonema group can be received anywhere, like mouse buds that can easily grow anywhere. Originally, Protonema presents with four personals. They were Dodi, bassist, Gun Gun, keyboardist, Didit, the drummer, and Sidik, guitarist. As time goes by, the group's personals then change caused by certain reasons. Protonema music group was firstly known in the 1990s. At that time, the group achieved its success with Miko as the vocalist. One of the Protonema's hit songs, Rinduku Adinda, is available in their songs album entitled November. The song Rinduku Adinda tells about someone's longing for their lover. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song Rinduku Adinda by Protonema.
Cinta ku di dada, sesungguhnya cukup lama.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
jambu luruh di kotamu. Ku ayung sendiri langkah-langkah sepi, menikmati angin menabuh daun-daun, mencari gambaranmu di waktu lalu. Sisi ruang batinku hampa rindukan pagi, tercipta nelangsa merenggut sukma. Terwujud keinginan yang tak pernah terwujud, aku tak bisa pindah ke lain hati. Begitu lelah sudah ku harus menepi. Hiduplah ditambatkan berlabuh di pantaimu. Sisi ruang batinku hampa rindukan pagi, tercipta nelangsa merenggut sukma. Oh, terwujud keinginan yang tak pernah terwujud, aku tak bisa pindah.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at VOI Indonesia, and send us email on voi@voinews.id.